WRCO, fresh from the country, sponsored by Julie Karen State Farm Insurance. It is 39 degrees at WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin, as we put the wraps on our morning session. We bring on the news at 9, sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, continuing the long tradition of caring service. And the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Biden Thursday criticizing the special counsel report concerning classified documents he had in his possession. The report exonerated the president over the mishandling of classified documents, but raised questions about his memory. But Mr. Biden insisted.
I'm the most qualified person in this country to be president of the United States and finish the job I started.
Donald Trump did not face Nikki Haley in Thursday's Republican caucuses in Nevada, which ABC News projects he won. During a Thursday hearing, the Supreme Court appeared highly skeptical of Colorado's ruling to disqualify former President Trump from the ballot based on a section of the 14th Amendment that prevents insurrectionists from holding office. Justice Elena Kagan.
I think that the question that you have to confront is why a single state should decide who gets to be president of the United States.
Right now in East Tennessee, a manhunt for a suspect who killed a deputy and injured another during a Thursday traffic stop. This is ABC News. In a new interview, Russian President Vladimir Putin saying he will not invade other countries as the war with Ukraine drags on.
Responding to a question from U.S. talk show host Tucker Carlson, Russian President Putin said it was out of the question for Russia to invade Poland or Latvia. We simply don't have any interest, he said, adding the only scenario under which violence could erupt is if Poland attacked Russia. Putin also said a defeat in Ukraine is impossible. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News. At the foreign desk.
In Ukraine, President Volodymyr Zelensky has fired the nation's top general, saying the war effort needs a fresh start. The eruption of a volcano in southwestern Iceland slowing down. It's the third time this volcano has erupted in the last few months, and experts warn more are likely on the way. And another win in court for Britain's Prince Harry and his fight with tabloids over invading his privacy. Lawyers for Harry now say that the Mirror Group has agreed to pay what they call a substantial sum to settle the rest of the case. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 10 Monday through Sunday with all of your lunchtime favorites, burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center pizza. Or call ahead, 649-7469 for carryouts. From the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
There will never be a time when we don't encourage pre-planning. This is Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. Our staff has years of experience getting to know families and incorporating their loved ones' hobbies, activities, interests, and unique requests into meaningful and memorable services. Don't ever hesitate to make a request because you think it might be too out there. We are honored to work with you to create a service that truly reflects and celebrates your loved one's individual life journey at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Your car does more than take you from point A to point B. It helps you navigate through life with those you love by your side. We are here to provide the protection you need on that journey while helping you get a great value for your money. With auto insurance coverage from Julie Karen State Farm, you can count on competitive prices, efficient claim service, around-the-clock support, convenient access, financial strength and integrity, and personalized service from a company and agency you can trust. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Today's high 43 with some breaks of sun, breezy and cooler conditions. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 25. Saturday, sunny and breezy and a high of 37. And Sunday, 38 with sunshine. That's your weekend forecast. Right now, southwest winds are at 8 miles per hour. It is 39 in the Wirtz Floor & Home temperature gauge today, just ahead of today's morning show.
Hi, this is Dan Miller, Old Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. You know we have records now, and that's Mastodon Records. Greg Woodhouse, Old Cooch Books and Libations. Always something new here, and of course, books are always really good here. 130 South Main, downtown Richland Center.
Need help finding a great Valentine's Day gift? This is Angie, here to remind you that at J.J. Walsh Jewelers, we strive to make it as easy as possible. We have jewelry at every price point, and we're eager to make your Valentine's Day one to remember. From diamond stud earrings and stunning fashion jewelry to all different kinds of love-inspired designs, all waiting for you to pick out today. Even better, from now until the 14th, spin the wheel and get a percentage off your purchase. Ladies, don't forget to stop in at J.J. Walsh Jewelers and put together a wish list while we clean and check your jewelry for free. J.J. Walsh Jewelers, Downtown Richland Center.
Find the perfect Valentine's gifts and decor at Robin's Nest Country Gifts and Flowers. Hi, this is Julie. Our Valentine's Day decorations feature bold reds and heartfelt designs that capture the style of the season. Say I love you with a stunning rose bouquet or a beautiful floral arrangement. Delivery is available. Call 383-1616. There's more to love at Robin's Nest Country Gifts and Flowers at the corner of Orange and 3rd, Richland Center, your Valentine headquarters.
We are pleased to have in the studio Bruce Tesmer on our morning show today from WRCO and WRCE, local music man. It's been a life of music for you, Bruce. Good morning.
It pretty much has. I want to thank you for having me on the show here. It's always a pleasure to come in the studio. Yeah, I've been playing music since about 1967, believe it or not, you know. So, you know, if you bought a car in 67, it'd be a classic now. So I gotta start thinking, you know, well, maybe I'm just a classic.
Maybe you can get collector plates now.
Yeah. Something like that.
You know, I was looking at this day in history. It was this day when the Beatles appeared on Sullivan for the first time. Were you aware of that, or did you watch that?
Oh, yeah, I remember it well. We were glued to the TV. And then there was a rerun, and it's like, well, we got to see this, you know. Other than that, you know, when we were, I was pretty young, but it's like, that was something. But the rest of the Ed Sullivan show is like, yeah, so poor G, you know, like, nah, I don't think so.
He had something for everyone, but But I've talked to many musicians over the years that kind of that night catapulted them to want to get a guitar and try to take lessons or whatever.
Absolutely. The Beatles, like, I want to do that, you know. So my parents, for Christmas in, I don't know, 1967, or 66, actually got a rental guitar from a music store in Sheboygan, and this thing was basically a fence post with strings on it. But it's like, whoa, this is it, man. I'm playing music.
What was the first song you learned then, Bruce? Do you remember?
It was Wild Thing.
Wild Thing. Three chords, right?
Got it.
Yeah.
And I still play it today, and it just tears a house down.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Isn't it something that a song so simple can have that kind of lasting memory?
Absolutely. It's a powerful song.
Sure. How many bands have you been in over the years, Bruce?
Well, you know, my wife said, you better write down all these bands because Phil's going to ask you about it. Well, I don't know. So I started going through photographs and stuff, and it looks like about 18 different bands that were serious enough to actually play in front of people. No vegetables were involved.
Did you play pretty much around the state or around the Midwest?
Some of these bands were pretty local, but some of them were actually traveling. You know, I played in a band in Madison, and we played in Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota. You know, it was kind of a lounge band. You know, it wasn't really what I wanted to do, but it was a living, you know, because I was trying to make a living as a musician, which is pretty tough.
Hard to do, yeah. So you had to play a few ballads, maybe even a few polkas if you were in Wisconsin, you know.
Yeah. I remember that well, too.
Would you want to run down the names of the bands there? I see
well,
you in front
starting
of
in about 1966, there was a band in Sheboygan called New Freedom. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty cool name, until I found out that it was also the name of a feminine napkin.
Oh, no.
And our 15, 16-year-old selves were just, oh, this is so funny, you know, whatever, you know. And when I got into college, I, I got in with a bad crowd, and we got a band called Aero Carpet Service going, and that was named after the keyboard player's truck. He bought this truck from Aero Carpet Service in Rockford. So it said Aero Carpet Service on it. It's like, we don't have to even, you know, put our name on a truck.
You didn't get sued, though?
No. No, okay. No, we were never that high profile. But then the bass player and I left that band, and we started a power trio called Northern Waste. Think what you will of that. But then I graduated and got married and came up here. My wife, Mary Lou, had a job here at the school district, so this is where I moved anyway, and I got with some local guys and put a band called Fast and Bulbous together. Now, that's a Captain Beefheart reference, which nobody understands, but we thought it was pretty cool. And after that, I got together with Gordy Glass and Ken Peasley and put a band together called Wayne Stewart and Taylor. That was our middle names. Naming bands just is a real chore. I mean, it's really hard. And when that band broke up, I went to Madison and joined a band called Rainbow. They were looking for a bass player, so okay, I can do that. And that was a kind of a loungy band, you know, easy listening kind of stuff. And that's the one where we traveled all over. We'd play weeks at a time in different cities. After that, I played in a local band called Windwalker. Now we're getting to the point where maybe somebody might remember some of these bands.
Mm-hmm.
And in pretty fast order, these were rock and roll top 40 bands, Hits, Arrival, and Riser. And then I kind of took a hiatus from music for a while, had things going on, you know, raising a family and one thing and another. I was working in Viola and got with these guys from Viola and Viroqua. And we started the B.O.B. Blues Band. Now, B.O.B. means Band of Buffoons, which is pretty apt. That was kind of a throw together, but we played quite a bit. And we had a very short-lived band called Bonzo Di Corda and the Bernardi Brothers. It was kind of a joke, but, you know, we played a few gigs. Then I got in with a band in La Crosse called the Headbolts Band, and that was a motorcycle-oriented band specifically put together, and our song list was specifically created for motorcycle events, you know, A-Bait rallies, Harley-Davidson, open houses, that kind of stuff. And that was a lot of fun. I would say that's where I gained somewhat of a reputation as a guitar player, because I'm kind of a hot dog, you know, and I would play behind my head and had a wireless and walk out in a crowd and this sort of thing. That band broke up, and I took another vacation for a while, and then some of those guys got together and started a band called the Trunk Monkeys, and I was in that band for a while, and then I decided I'm going to do solo acoustic. All this time it's been electric, you know, rock and roll, blues, that type of stuff. So I started working on acoustic, and I found out that I really, really like doing solo acoustic, because, you know, the acoustic guitar is really responsive in a way that electric guitars aren't, because it's not overpowering, you know, and it's got more harmonic content, and it's fun, and you can just sit down and play it without being plugged into anything. So I did that for a while, and then I hooked up with a guy who played saxophone and harmonica and a whole bunch of other stuff named Randall Crawford. He's a local guy, and we started a duo called Two for the Road, and we played together for quite a while, and COVID kind of took care of that. It's a bad thing for people who like to get a lot of people together, you know, like musicians, like, yeah, we're going to get a big crowd together here and spread this thing around. So that kind of broke down. And then I kind of, at the same time, I was playing in a blues band and basically out of Baraboo called Boilermakers Blues Band. And that was a fun band because, you know, it's just right up my alley, you know. So I get to play the acoustic and do a little crooning and then, you know, get on the guitar and make it sing, that kind of thing. And after that went south, I went back to being solo acoustic, which I have been doing up until last summer.
brings us to today.
Yeah.
How long has it been since your last CD? I think the was it Roadhog? Was that the last one?
Yeah, that was 1999 or 2000.
That long?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, that was a good collection. You had a good collection of local musicians on there too, didn't you?
Yeah, the last song was called Jam This, and I travel around and recorded, let different people play solos, harmonica, a lot of guitar players, of course. I don't know, I'm kind of partial to guitar myself. Keyboards, you know, but local people, they were never in the same room at one time, but they just sat down and tracked a solo on it in that song, and it was a good time.
Yeah. Hey, you've been working on this one for a little while, right,
Bruce? Quite a long time, actually. Some of these songs were written maybe 10 years ago, but I never did a decent recording of them. I finally said, you know what? I ought to do a nice recording of these things, something that's, you know, professional sounding and, you know, as I said, sounding, and put out a CD. That last CD I never kicked out in the bucks and had, you know, Glassmaster regular CDs made. I just did CDRs and sold them that way, which is, you know, the way to go if you don't have a budget. But this time it's like, this is a bucket list item, buddy. Let's check it off. So that's what I did.
So it motivated you to get it done and get it recorded?
Yeah, that's
true. You play most of the instruments, do you?
Everything.
You play everything on here?
Yeah, I did everything on this CD, instruments, vocals, whatever. I say that I did not play the drums. It's a plug-in on my workstation. It's called Easy Drummer 3. It's a little misleading. It's it's drums, but it's not all that easy.
Wow, interesting. We're going to play a cutoff here. Bruce Tesmer and the brand new CD that he gave us. In fact, you're giving them away. We'll tell you a little bit about that coming up.
But indeed.
Tell me about the song Here With Me, Bruce.
Here With Me is a love song. I wrote this for my wife, and this is one of the oldest songs on this CD because I've been loving her for a long time, you know. But it just basically is about how when you have someone who is dedicated to you and you're dedicated to them, all the other stuff going on in the world is like, yeah, that's happening, but we've got this, you know. So there's one line that recurs in here, thank the Lord that I've got you. That pretty well sums it up.
Yeah, yes it does. Bruce Tesmer on WRCO's Morning Show.
Can't help but wonder. have to wonder, can this really be true?
Bruce Tesmer on The Morning Show. That's Here With Me from his brand new CD. I like that one.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
I hope a lot of people like it.
It's got kind of a little bit of a, I don't know, I was thinking like Poco feel, something like that. From the 70s.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Yeah.
When I was making this record, I was not looking to make the epic rock and roll CD. It's like, and right on the back of this CD cover, it explains, I'll read this. Because I wrote it, it's pretty good prose. So this collection of music was written over a period of years, guided by a fickle, unreliable, and inconsistent muse. The result is a genre-fluid group of songs. Stylistically, it's a really wild ride. For me, it's the ride of my life. So the styles you see in this thing are all over the map. You know, there's rock and roll, there's love ballads, there's one that I'm told sounds kind of like Pink Floyd, you know, and, well, you know, I just do it what the muse tells me to do.
Yeah. And it kind of goes along with all the bands you were in. I mean, different styles through the years. And
some of these bands were country. Some of them actually ventured into jazz, but most of them were blues and rock. And I think the blues feeling goes all through this record. There's only a couple of songs you can say, yeah, that's blues. But they all have that kind of blues swagger to them, you know.
We talked about you giving the CD away, and maybe you could tell us about that and the inspiration for that.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting story. I was planning on selling these at my shows. Excuse me. Got a frog taking up residence in my throat here. Mm-hmm. So anyway, late last summer, I developed a bit of a medical problem, and it turned out to be pretty serious, and I just decided, well, these shows are getting really hard to do, so I'm just going to stop doing shows because it's not fun anymore. So I had the CD in the works, and so I said, well, what am I going to do with these things? Because I really don't care to sell them online all that much. That's a lot of work, too. So I said, well, why don't I give these things away? And you may think, whoa, you know, you must be made of money. You know, well, I'm looking at it this way. Maybe I can still do some good with these things. So each CD's got a sticker on it, and I'm just either handing them to people or putting them out in businesses, and it says, the sticker says, please feel free to take one of these CDs. There is no charge. However, it would be great if you could make a small donation for your local food bank domestic crisis center, the Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, which is GRACE, or to the Carbone Cancer Center in the UW Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin. So I don't imagine everybody is going to do that, but I think that possibly this CD could make an impact and help somebody else, you know, help their lives.
Good for you. People can download it, too.
Absolutely. If you go to Spotify or any of those download sites, just search for Bruce Tesmer. In fact, there's a a site called Here Now, and you can listen to samples of all these songs, and then there's a list of all the sites that you can download them from.
What if you start getting more downloads than your son Eric, though? Is he going to be mad or jealous? Or?
I don't think we need to worry about that. Quite honestly.
Yeah, your son has done very well for himself. I was thinking about this. You know, I was thinking about the years when my kids would ask for help with our homework. And there's a time when they pass you. For me, you know, it was like fourth grade maybe. Was there a time when you felt like, well, I can't really give Eric any more pointers? Or
pretty much. We started out, I was showing him some things on the guitar, and he didn't actually have a guitar at that time, so he would play my Gold Top Les Paul, you know. That's okay. And then I heard Smoke on the Water coming out of his bedroom a lot. So we bought him it's called a Strat Pack. It was I think it's a Mexican Strat with a little bitty amp, and they even get a pick and a strap with it. And he just loved that thing. Of course, we had to get a red one because I'd taken it to see Pink Floyd, and Gilmore was playing a red Strat. So that was the only way to go. But anyway, he sequestered himself in his bedroom with books. Back then, the internet was pretty much non-existent, and now you can find any song you want, and somebody will show you how to play it. But he was there learning his chops. And I came home from work one time, and somebody was playing some Jimi Hendrix down in the basement, and it was like, whoa, this is really good. And some of his friends were there playing and jamming in my basement, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And yeah, okay. He doesn't need my help anymore, at least not on guitar playing.
That was that moment, right?
Yep, that was the moment.
Went on to be, he was Austin's number one guitar player there.
He won a guitar player of the year from the Austin Chronicle's readers poll one year. And
they think he's a local, too. They don't know he's a Wisconsin boy.
A lot of them don't.
Yeah.
They just, because he's kind of acquired that Texas accent, you know. It's not hard to do. I was actually born in Virginia, and it's real easy to slip back into that drawl.
Yeah, just visiting there for a little while, I think sometimes that happens, doesn't it? Yeah.
I think if you get stuck in an elevator with a couple of Southerners, you'll all come out talking that way.
You and Eric had a project, too, on an old pickup truck recently.
Well, he's actually been crazy about international trucks all his life. You know, I had an old international truck wood hauler that I bought because it was cheap, and he fell in love with it, and he's been doing international trucks all the time. But about 2 years ago, he and I drove a truck that he had gone into a junkyard and fixed. We drove it from Grass Valley, California. We were heading for Austin, Texas with this thing. And the trouble was that we had so many breakdowns and so much trouble that we ran out of time. And he had to leave it in Colorado, and we had to hightail it back to Austin because he had a recording session. But he then flew back up there and drove it home. And this is like a 1956, I believe, international. And he just did another one last year. And instead of taking me along, he went out there and fixed this thing up and got it working, and actually took a motor out of my old truck and put it in there because it didn't have a motor. And then he and his wife drove it back to Austin. It was like a vacation. And he has a website. It's called Bare Knuckle Binder. And he's also on Instagram. And he's got a lot of followers because he has instructional videos, and he, you know, just basically driving around and being cool with his truck. One of my favorite memories from that trip was driving this thing down the main street of Reno, Nevada, about 8 o'clock at night. And people were running out with their cell phones taking pictures of this thing. And there happened to be a car show there. And all these guys got these, you know, they've got cars that they've probably got $60,000, $70,000 in. And they're all just going, ooh, yeah, okay, you know. And everybody's paying attention to this beat up old truck. And then just, okay, you got a $10,000 paint job. We don't care. This truck here, this is what it is.
This is cool. That's a real deal.
Way cool.
Was it smoking up the place, or was
No, he
wasn't using too much oil then.
Not that much. It might have been leaking some, but it just, this thing is 11 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
It's big. And driving that thing downtown in Reno on a Friday night is like, you don't see this every day. And so everywhere we went, people were amazed with it.
Sounds like a song, you know, maybe you could write a song about
it. Yeah, I just have to write it or suggest it to Eric. He writes great songs, too, by the way.
Yes, he does. We'll come back with Bruce in a little bit. We got another cut or two to play on the new CD. Bruce Tesmer in the studio here for the morning show on a Friday.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul at the Prescription Center, providing an update on our move to Sexsmithville Road. Chris and I wish to thank all who have offered to help with the move. Vitesnics and contractors have worked many long, hard hours to turn an empty space into an exceptional location for a pharmacy within 45 days. We thank them for their effort. We will be moving Friday, February 9th through 11th. The pharmacy will be closed on Friday the 9th. Phones will be switched to the new location during the day on Friday, and messages may be lost. Please do not call on the 9th. As we move the computers, we will not have access to your records until Monday the 12th. No one may pick up prescriptions from the 9th to the 11th. We are humbled by the support and planning for minimal downtime. We will keep the same phone number, exceptional service, just a new spot.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Garrett with Vitesnik Power Sports and V2 Boat Center. How many summers do you have to create everlasting memories that will last a lifetime? Come and see how we can help you create more family time with friends, just more time with a new boat. Join us at our in-house boat show, February 23rd to the 25th at Vitesnik's in Richland Center, and take advantage of savings up to $16,000. New boat, new experiences, and new savings at Vitesnik Power Sports, Richland Center, and V2 Boat Center, Castle Rock Lake.
Both calves and slaughter cows were very active at this past Wednesday sale at the Mathis Farms Auction Market in Biola. Holstein bull calves sold from $330 to $480, crossbred calves $540 to $670, and the lightweights and heifer calves in the $75 to $290 range. Most of the slaughter cows sold from $95 to $119, with only four cows $77 to $90, bulls up to $114. We had a very active market at last week's feeder sale. The 5 to 600-pound black steers range from 240 to 262 and a half. 6 to 900-pound black steers, 235 to 247.50. The 5 to 700-pound black heifers, 2 to 230. With the 400-pound Holstein steers, 160 to 185. And we did have a package of 950-pound Holstein steers at 145. Our next feeder sale will be Friday, February 16th. Contact us if you're looking for spring calving, black, red, or white-faced heifers, as we have over 30 available to sell. Give Darren, Colton, or Jim a call, 627-1401, and we'll come out to your farm, give you an idea of what your package of cattle could bring at our sales. Mathis Farms Auction Market in Biola is your local livestock market, serving the farmers of our area for over 60 years.
Hello, WRCO listeners. This is Kenny, the wannabe baker, coming to you live from Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe in downtown Richland Center. Do you need a way to finish your Mardi Gras celebration? Stop in to Christie's on Fat Tuesday, February 13th. We will be serving up gumbo, muffalaya sandwiches, and king's cake till they're gone. Just stop on in to Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe, where every day is sunny.
Community conversation on the morning show, and music man Bruce Tesmer is in the studio with us. That's you, man. Good to see you. What's your shirt say? The loneliest road, America, Highway 50, Nevada. Is it Nevada? Yeah, that's good. Good shirt.
It is exactly what they say. It's a very lonely road. We took that road. My son and I rescued an old truck from California, and we didn't want to drive this thing. It goes 45, so we didn't want to drive it on I-80, so we went on Highway 50, and there he is. Nothing out there, but it's very beautiful.
Yeah, and you got the shirt to prove it there.
Got the shirt. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt.
Got the T-shirt. We're going to play another song from the new CD, Bruce. It's called Running Out of Time. What would you like to say about that?
Well, I wrote this song about a year and a half ago, and it turned out to be more prophetic than I knew, because everybody is running out of time. You know, if you want to do something, get her done, because you just never know.
Right. We spin it now from the new CD, Bruce Tesmer, Running Out of Time, on The Morning Show.
Mm-hmm. but it always seemed to be enough just to be with you. No hurry, baby, it'll all fall into line. But now and then I get this feeling that we're running out of time. I didn't say that I was looking back on a wasted life. Joy I felt when you said you'd be my wife. I knew together there's no hill we couldn't climb. I'd love to climb another one, but we're running out of time. Young folks think that
Tesmer on WRCO. I like it. That has a real blues feel to it.
Definite blues. That's one of two songs on this album that actually you could say, no, that's blues. That's mm-hmm. what that is, you know.
You still writing songs?
Oh, yeah.
Every day?
Not every day, but I've actually got enough songs to do another CD, but I never recorded them, and that's a long process when you're doing it all yourself.
So do you have a studio in your house that you just sat down? And
yeah, it's not what you would envision as a studio. Basically, it's a computer, you know, and nowadays anybody can record music. Back when I was a kid, you know, you had to have a recording contract or something, you know, because it was expensive and, you know, you couldn't get into a studio. And the technology was, I'm not going to say it was advanced, but it was expensive and it was out of reach of most people. But nowadays, you could record music on your phone if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. I'd like to be a little more professional than that. I use a digital workstation called Reaper. And you can have as many tracks as you want. You can put on effects. You can do all sorts of things with this thing, way more than I actually know how to do. Luckily, there's a series of how-to videos on, on YouTube. And but anyway, when I'd get stuck on something, I'd just, okay, let's see what Kenny Joyous says about this, you know?
So you can teach an old dog new tricks then, can't you?
Yeah, but it's hard.
I hear you. That is amazing. Now, with all these bands that you mentioned earlier, Bruce, did you ever put anything on vinyl with any of those bands?
No. Fast and Bulbous was one where we had plans to go and cut a 45 or something. They were still doing 45s back then, singles. But, you know, it just never materialized. You know, we were all such free spirits, we couldn't all get together on you know, on this project and say, hey, you know, we need to do this. And so everybody kind of drifted off and split for the coast or whatever.
That's where it's an advantage, where it's just you. You can get along with yourself.
Absolutely. Right? I'm one of the few people who can.
Oh, that's awesome. Good stuff. And, you know, I know you've been handing them out and, you know, giving them out there. Good rave reviews from the people that you've been handing them out to?
Yeah. People that I've gave one to a friend of mine, and he sent me an email I think it was a Facebook message. He said, you know, I started listening to this, and I said, oh, well, you probably did the best song first, you know. And then he kept listening. He was like, man, these are all pretty good, you know. And then he got to the spring song. That seems to be the one that guitar players like, because I get to play some electric guitar on this thing. Since, you know, doing a solo acoustic show, you know, you just don't get to play guitar, you know, that way, you know. And guitar players gravitate towards that song because it's pretty heavy guitar solos and stuff. In fact, I gave a copy of this to a guy at W Dirt in Viroqua.
Yep.
And he's a friend of mine, and he's a guitar player, and guess what song he played?
First one, huh?
That's right. That would be the spring song.
That's awesome.
And the spring song it's a song that I actually wrote as a poem. And I just got back from work one day, and had a really awful day at work. That happens sometimes, even to me. And so it was in the springtime, so I just took a walk out in the woods, and it was just like, wow, this is okay, you know. Yeah, it was a bad day at work, but look at all this cool stuff going on here. You know, everything's starting to grow, and it does this every year, you know, that it's eternal. You know, these birds, they've been doing this every year. They sing, they have babies, you know, that kind of stuff. And it sat in my computer because I typed it in the computer, and I was looking at it, and I thought, you know, I could probably make a song out of this, you know. So I got out my guitar and started whacking out some chords, and it turned out like, this sounds pretty good. Let's record this.
And you recorded some birds, too, outside.
Yeah, after I had recorded the song, I thought, this was last spring, and in the spring, we feed birds, and so we've got a lot of birds around our place. And in the spring, it's almost deafening. These birds, you know, yelling at each other, trying to protect territory and mating and food and stuff. And so I just took my little digital recorder outside and recorded some of that and used it for the intro and the outro of this song.
These birds are going to want royalties, though, now, Bruce, I think.
Yeah, they probably will never hear this show, though.
No, they may not.
they've migrated on, you know.
That's right. They're not here now. Let's give it a spin for Bruce Tesmer's CD. It's a good one fitting right now because we're all kind of thinking a little bit about spring. Spring song from Bruce Tesmer's latest CD. I like the birds there. They did a good job.
They did, and I'm not going to pay them royalties either.
But you did a great job as well, you know. And talk a little bit about, we talked about what was playing, but you're all about dynamics, soft and loud. And...
Well, that's true. That song is 5 minutes long, or no, I guess it's only about 4 minutes long, but if you just play the same intensity and same volume and everything, for the whole song, it's like, it gets boring, you know. That's one of my pet peeves with, you know, people in bands that I've been with. They just don't quite get it, you know, like, you got to bring it down and then hit them hard because it's very effective. Otherwise, people are like, yeah, well, let's go get another drink or whatever they're doing, you know, and it just, it's just the way it is.
Yep. Hit them over the head there at the end. After
yeah, but you got to lull them into a false sense of security before you nail them with it, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. You write about things around you. Tell me about the song called Toads that's on here.
Well, Toads is a direct result of the fact that when we moved to the house we live in 1977, it had a big old wood furnace, so we had to cut a lot of wood and store it in the basement, and a lot of bugs came in with this wood, and along with the bugs came toads, because they like to eat the bugs, and we had toads in our basement for years, and we'd hear them singing down there, and if you don't know what a toad's singing sound like, it's a real high-pitched, sustained note. And one time I thought, wow, I think the bearing on our furnace fan is going out. And I went down in the basement, and there's this toad sitting on the brush of a push broom down there, and he'd get all puffed up and start singing. Like, okay, it's cool.
Sound like some of the guys that were in your band through the years, maybe a little bit.
Well, no comment. Those guys, some of them are still alive. They might sue me.
Better be careful.
Yeah.
So again, get a hold of Bruce Tesmer's CD. In fact, we'll have a couple here at the studios if people want to stop by. And I think Joanne's going to take some to the Grace office as well. But they'd like to see you donate to the local food bank, Domestic Crisis Center, the Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination Grace, or to the Carbone Cancer Care Center in Madison, UW-Madison Hospital. And that's a noble thing you're doing.
Maybe we can do some good with this album.
I think you can. Bruce, always a pleasure to see you.
Well, it's always nice to be seen.
Come back when you get that next CD made there.
Well, we'll work on it real quick and get her done.
Get her done. All right. We're going to take it out with one more from Bruce as we close out our morning show today. This is a pretty fitting one to end with. It's called Come On Home.
There you go.
Tell us about it a little bit.
Well, it's a hot little boogie. It's a pot boiler. It's 180 beats a minute, which is pretty quick.
So we can dance to it then?
You might fall down. I don't know. I've seen people try it. Not everybody can. But yeah, it's a hot little boogie, as I said, and it's about the battle of the sexes. And that's a fight we can both win if you play it right.
Exactly. All right. Bruce Tesmer, thank you very much, my friend.
Count it out, Mr. Tubbs.
1, 2, 3, 4. I said, come on home. It's dark outside and I don't want to be alone. I told my baby I'm on my way. She said, don't bother coming if you don't need to stay. She said, you got a fruit, you and my man. I said, pretty baby, well, I do what I can. I said, come on home, that's what she told me. Coming on home, coming home to you. Come on home, that's what she told me. Coming on home, coming home to you. Come on home, come on home to you. My baby, she's the only one. She said, you better not be just poking fun. Told my baby I'm a block away. She said, don't bother coming if you don't want me to stay. I said, I gotta prove that I'm a man. She said, come on over, let's see if you can. I said, come on home, that's what you told me. Coming on home, coming home to you. Come on home, that's what you told me. Coming on home, coming home to you. Come on home, come on home to you. I'm ready to drop. Stop for a drink, but I'm sure I can stop. Wanna go home, half a new bag. The baby's way before me, I don't mean to brag. She's gonna make sure I'm feeling alright. Little bit of love it, and I'm high as a kite. I said, come on home, that's what you told me. Come on home, coming home to you. Come on home, that's what you told me. Coming on home, coming home to you. come on home. Come on home. That's what you told me. Coming on home. Come home to you. Come on home. Come on home to you. Baby, come on home. That's what you told me. Come on home. Coming home to you. Come on home. That's what you told me. Coming on home. Coming home to you. Come on home. Come on home to you. Come on home. Come on home to you.
Need help finding a great Valentine's Day gift? This is Angie, here to remind you that at J.J. Walsh Jewelers, we strive to make it as easy as possible. We have jewelry at every price point, and we're eager to make your Valentine's Day one to remember. From diamond stud earrings and stunning fashion jewelry to all different kinds of love-inspired designs, all waiting for you to pick out today. Even better, from now until the 14th, spin the wheel and get a percentage off your purchase. Ladies, don't forget to stop in at J.J. Walsh Jewelers and put together a wish list while we clean and check your jewelry for free. J.J. Walsh Jewelers, Downtown Richland Center.
The Wisconsin Farm Center provides a neutral facilitator trained in mediation to help conflicting parties pursue understanding and eventual agreement in farm-related disputes. Services are available to help in credit issues, environmental concerns, farm family conflicts, and more. Learn more at datcp.wi.gov. This message in support of farm families is a service of the Gokenauer Agency, your representative of Mount Morris Mutual Insurance Company, serving Richland Center and the surrounding area. Chet's Feed, Seed and Such prides itself with excellent quality, fair prices, and very friendly, helpful people at 373 West 6th Street, Richland Center. And Premier Cooperative has exceeded expectations since 1893 with feed, seed, animal health, fertilizer, chemicals, propane, and Senex Pump 24.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelinek of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. As we reminisce about the 135th anniversary of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Mark, we left off last week downtown in the location that many of us remember as the former Sears building. That building really served the Pratt Funeral Service for a considerable amount of time, didn't it?
It did. So the funeral home was there until they moved to its current location on the corner of Court and Park in Richland Center in 1953. So when they were at the building downtown, it was started by Fred Pratt, then his son Willard Pratt took it over along with their daughter. She got married and moved to Dodgeville. And then Frank Tuxford came to assist at the funeral home. Many people may not remember Frank, but his daughter was the former Nancy Edwards of Richland Center. So that's kind of the tie-in to Frank Tuxford. And then those two gentlemen in 1953 built a new location here at the corner of Court and Park where we currently are today. It was built specifically to be a funeral home, which was once again kind of a new age concept to build something, not redo it, but build it specifically for a funeral home. And it was built by local contractors, which at that time was also seemingly an odd concept to have a commercial building built like this by local contractors, which is kind of an interesting thing because today you think, you know, you just get local contractors to do these things. But according to all these histories we're reading, it was kind of a revolutionary idea to do it in such a fashion. So yeah, they moved to the building here in 1953, and we found one of the things from its open house in April of 1953. They had a two-day open house from 1 p.m. until 10 p.m. at night from both days.
Both days?
Both days they had a nine-hour open house till 10 p.m., which today you'd think, why would you have one? But then you also think back on how what society was. It was a lot of farmers, things along those lines where days were different, how people worked, your work schedule was different. So to accommodate everyone,
they kind of had things at different times. Also, if you think about visitations, they used to be longer time frames as well to kind of accommodate more of the agricultural background that used to be a lot more prevalent here. We still have an ag background, but there's not as many local farms and things along those lines. So how times have changed.
Seems interesting, though, Mark. What a great educational opportunity was afforded.